Thank you, Brother Mark, and good morning, brothers and sisters. There really was a reason for us to read all of those names in Nehemiah chapter 10. It's worth looking at, and if you would just like to share a few thoughts out of this chapter with me, I would like to then go from here to our New Testament readings in 1 Timothy. Nehemiah chapter 10 really should start in chapter 9, verse 38, where we read, "And because of all this, we make a sure covenant and write it, and our princes, our Levites, and our priests seal unto it." So the princes, the Levites, and the priests were all going to sign a document. And so the verse 1 in our chapter 10 said, "Those that sealed or signed were Nehemiah, the Tirshatha, or the governor, the son of Hakaliah, and Zedekiah, Sariah, Azariah, Jeremiah, Pasher, Amariah," and the list goes on. And so we have a record of everyone that signed on. And that's important. And this is really the emphasis for us, I think, in today's reading. That we who make a commitment are all known of God. We have all signed on. And we are each individually known by God. And so God caused to be written every individual, and their name was written down and kept on record. Now, we don't know these people, but what we know for certain is that they committed themselves. And that is the lesson that we are here to learn today. And in verse 28, "And the rest of the people, the priests, the Levites, the porters, the singers, the Nethinim, and all they that had separated themselves from the peoples of the lands unto the law of God, their wives, their sons, and their daughters, everyone that had knowledge and understanding, they clave to their brethren, their nobles, and entered into a curse and into an oath to walk in God's law, which was given by Moses, the servant of God, and to observe and do all the commandments of the Lord, our Lord, and his judgments and his statutes." So everybody committed. And so the example was set by the leaders of the people, and the people there followed their example. And they committed by an oath to walk in God's law. And so they also would be known of God. And so we have a binding agreement. And we have all done the same thing. We have all committed to walk in the ways of the Lord our God. We have signed on. And today we are here to remember our commitment and to realign ourselves to that commitment as necessary, and to rededicate ourselves as necessary to what we have committed to do. And so when Paul wrote to Timothy, he wrote upon these very same lines. And so we turn to the first letter of Paul to Timothy. And I think what Paul writes to Timothy is very touching. It's very... Not only is it very relevant for us all, but Paul, in writing to Timothy, he calls him a true child in the faith. 1 Timothy 1, verse 2. He was a true son of the Apostle Paul. And so we have an older man and we have a young man. The older man, he had to endure a thorn in the flesh. The young man was sickly. But they were two strong men in the faith. One was particularly chosen by the Apostle Paul to undertake the work of the gospel. And despite his oftentimes sicknesses, he was one who was strong in the faith. And so we have the record in Acts chapter 16 that when Paul heard of the brethren, what they had to say about this young man, Timothy, he wanted him for the ministry. And so he came to Derbe and Lystra, and behold, a certain disciple was there named Timothy, the son of a Jewess, which believed, but his father was a Greek. The same was well reported of by the brethren that were at Lystra and Iconium, and him would Paul have to go forth with him, and he took and circumcised him because of the Jews that were in those parts. Now, while Paul preached very strongly against those who insisted on circumcision or in circumcision, in Galatians in particular, he saw it necessary that Timothy should be circumcised. And so Paul followed through with what he said in 1 Corinthians chapter 9, to the Jews he became as a Jew, that he might win them for Christ. And so with Timothy accompanying him in the work, he was reluctant. In fact, he would not place a stumbling block in the face of the Jews. Coming back to 1 Timothy chapter 1, Paul, an apostle of Christ Jesus, according to the commandment of God, our Saviour, and Christ Jesus, our hope. He is our hope. And that's where Paul begins this letter. In fact, Jesus is our one and only hope. There is no other hope. There is no other future. There is nothing for any one of us without Jesus Christ. And that is where Paul begins in this writing to Timothy. For a young man, what Paul had to say seems pretty heavy. In verse 3, as I exhorted thee to tarry at Ephesus when I was going into Macedonia, that thou mightest charge certain men not to teach a different doctrine, neither to give heed to fables and endless genealogies, the which minister questionings rather than a dispensation of God which is in faith. And so he gives to Timothy a command. He gives him a mandate in setting Timothy a job to do in Ephesus. Now, Ephesus, as we know from reading in the Acts of the Apostles, Ephesus was a major center for the preaching of the truth. But it was also a center it was huge in idolatry. And this had had an effect not only upon the population at large, but also upon the brothers and sisters. But the other influence in the ecclesia was the influence of the Jews, the Judaizers. And they loved to get into endless genealogies. And they loved to talk about the Jewish fables, many of which we can read, for example, in the Apocrypha. And Paul specifically charged or commanded Timothy that he was to challenge these brothers. Now, you can imagine that this would not be an easy task for a young man. He was young, and these Jews were experienced in debate. They were ones who loved to do nothing else but debate and argue. And here was Timothy given this particular job to do by the Apostle Paul. Paul must have considered him up to the task. He must have been one who was strong And his strength, we know, was gained by his education from a child. We find this in the second letter of Paul to Timothy. There were two people who were instrumental in his education in the scriptures. His mother and his grandmother, Lois and Eunice. And what a pair. Now, his father would have no influence because his father was a Greek, and by that he was not a believer. And so we can see here, I think, very well established the example that can be set for mothers and for grandmothers in the education of children. And here Timothy was a shining light in a very dark age, in fact, in knowing very well the scriptures of truth and being able to teach from them. The goal Paul establishes in verse 5, but the end or the goal of the commandment or the charge, he says, is love or agape out of a pure heart and a good conscience and faith unfeigned. So this is what we're striving for, says Paul to Timothy. The end result of what I'm giving you to do is that there would be agape love, that there would be a giving, self-sacrificing love. It would come out of a pure heart. It would be from a good conscience. And it would not be a pretend faith, which is what unfeigned means. To feign something is to pretend. And so what Paul was looking for in Timothy, that he would stimulate the brothers and sisters here, he would put an end to the false teachings within the ecclesia at Ephesus, and he would establish these qualities of love and purity and faith unfeigned. No small task for a young brother. And yet that was the expectation that Paul lay upon the shoulders of this young man. In looking at the agape love that was Paul spoke of to Timothy, we see a very interesting parallel in 1 Peter. Peter writes in similar vein in 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 22. Seeing you have purified your souls in your obedience to the truth unto unfeigned love of the brethren. Unfeigned agape of the brethren. Agape one another from the heart fervently. And so both Paul and Peter are together in instructing the brothers and sisters and instructing us that we are to love the brotherhood. We are to love the brethren. We are to love each other, but not just with a surface love. This is to be with a fervent agape love. A love that gives and is prepared to minister, to serve, to help, to encourage, to assist. This is what Paul is speaking of when he talks to Timothy, and what Peter is speaking about also. It's love out of a pure heart. And so there's development has to take place in the disciple before we can effectively minister these things. There is the purity of life, there is the development of the conscience towards the things of God, and the development of faith. And the faith unfeigned can only come through diligent application to the Word of God. And so that was the objective. That was where Paul wanted Timothy to go. And so, in going back to 1 Peter again, there's another verse there that we should mention, and that's in 1 Peter chapter 2, in verse 17. Peter says, honour all men, agape, the adelphotasi. That is the Greek. We could take from that, love the Christadelphians. For that is the root from where we get our name, Christadelphian. Love the brotherhood. Fear God. And so, when we look at our commitment, when we look at what we have signed on to, when we look at our allegiance to the Lord Jesus Christ, do we see that we have also committed to our brothers and sisters, not only in this ecclesia, but in ecclesias around the world? And I think it's a good thing that we have established in something fairly recent in our practice, in sending cards to our brothers and sisters. And today we send a card to our sister Pam in Vancouver. And this demonstrates, I think, brothers and sisters, a very practical side to our loving of the brotherhood, where we remember our brothers and sisters who suffer in other ecclesias, in other areas. Now, we've sent cards to Ontario. We've sent cards, I think, to pretty near every ecclesia in British Columbia. And let us continue this practice, not only in cards, but let us also remember other mediums by which we can contact and keep in touch with our brothers and sisters. It's sad when we turn the page and we come to the second epistle of Timothy, or second epistle to Timothy by Paul. Because here in the first one we have Paul's instruction to Timothy and what he is to do. But as we come over to the second epistle of Paul, Paul is about to die. And he said his time was at hand. And we can imagine as Paul got to these words in his epistle, how that the tears would be in the young man's eyes. Perhaps not quite so young by the time he got the second epistle, but still young compared to his mentor, to the great apostle. And here he is, he's a man now who's going to be left on his own, so to speak. He's not going to have that solid rock of advice that was always there for him. Do you know that Timothy, out of the 13 letters that Paul wrote, Timothy is mentioned in 10 of them. So there was a love between these two men. Paul loved Timothy. That's why he took him from the very beginning. He took him right out of Lystra and took him into the work of the ministry. And there from Lystra he finished up. He was over there in Ephesus. But as Paul loved Timothy, so Timothy just loved that man, the Apostle Paul. And now Paul passes on the news that he's about to die in 2 Timothy chapter 4. We notice in chapter 4 that Paul is still charging Timothy. He's still giving him commandments of things he shall do. It says, preach the word in verse 2. Be instant in season, out of season, reprove, you rebuke, exhort with all long suffering and teaching. For the time will come when they will not endure sound teaching, but having itching ears shall heap to themselves teachers after their own lusts, and so on. But he says, but be thou sober in all things. Timothy, you must remain clear-headed. You can't let influences affect your mind so that you are not completely sober, so that your mind is completely alert. He said, suffer hardship. It's not easy to preach the gospel or to minister to the brotherhood. And oftentimes it's challenging for all of us as we see the difficulties that come upon the ecclesias and difficulties within even our own ecclesia at times. And sometimes it would be easy to turn the other way, to not be involved, to keep at a distance. But this isn't the Paul way. Paul committed Timothy to be completely involved. He says, fulfill thy ministry. Remember, brothers and sisters, we're here to serve. We're here to serve in good times. We're here to serve in not so good times. And Paul knew this full well. His life was far from easy. But now he says, I am now ready to be offered. The time of my departure is come. I have fought the good fight. I have finished the course. I have kept the faith. Henceforth, there is laid up for me the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day. But he hastens to add, not only to me, but also to all them that love his appearing. And so we come here today to remember such an example. But Paul would have us remember someone even greater than him. So in 2 Timothy 2 verse 8, he said, remember Jesus Christ risen from the dead. Remember, brothers and sisters, and be encouraged by the one who is risen from the dead. And as we think upon Jesus, as we participate in the memorial emblems before us, we remember that Jesus, he took on the cross for the joy that was set before him. He endured the cross and he despised the shame. Jesus committed himself. And that was the road to which he was committed. Paul committed himself, knowing full well where it might end. And so Timothy also signed on as Paul's disciple. We have signed on. Every one of us. And our names are all known of God. He has them all recorded. We are committed to the cause. And so as we read through the pages of Paul to Timothy, and we will, God willing, during the days of the week ahead, read on into 2 Timothy, we have looked at the man who said, follow me as I also follow Christ. We will take his advice to Timothy that he wrote in 1 Timothy chapter 6 and verse 11 through 14. But thou, O man of God, flee these things and follow after righteousness, godliness, faith, love, patience, meekness. Fight the good fight of faith. Lay hold on eternal life, whereunto thou art also called, and hast professed a good profession before many witnesses. I give thee charge in the sight of God, who quickeneth all things, and before Christ Jesus, who before Pontius Pilate witnessed a good confession, that thou keep this commandment without spot, unrebukable, until the appearing of our Lord Jesus Christ. And so we will remember our Lord this day. He not only died, but he also rose from the dead. And so will we. Let us be more than conquerors through him who loved us. And let us also determine this day. There is a crown of righteousness laid up for me.